I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
No one likes them, but they don't care. They've got the bark and the bite, or should I say, roar. So come down to the den. If you dare. It's the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport.
Good evening, welcome to the Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. It's the Millwall Fan Show. We're with you till 7 till 8:30 p.m. this evening. Jake Watson in for Aaron Paul this evening. Delighted to say we've got Harry and Nick joining me in the studio. How are we, chaps? Are we well?
We are better, thank you, Jake, after that improvement in form up at Middlesbrough last week. So I'm feeling a bit more, like the season might yet sustain some interest for
Me. I mean, we'll talk about Millwall and Middlesbrough in a little while.
Yeah.
But You went up there? First experience?
Went to the Riverside
what
Stadium.
What was it like?
I quite like the stadium, actually. It's it was one of the early new stadiums. It was built in the 90s, and some might call it just another stadium. I thought it was had a nice little touch. There's one stand slightly larger than the other.
So it's not just generic. Bit different.
Yeah, and the corners have been filled in at a later date, so there's a slightly higgledy-piggledy feel to it in a sense. But I quite liked it. It stands in an area of waste ground, which unfortunately Middlesbrough so much is another subject. But it's quite a sight, and it was an interesting trip.
What was the atmosphere like in the Riverside? Because these days, I mean, certainly in the last whenever in the Championship, the Riverside strikes as one of the stadiums that it's half empty, but because it isn't one of the newer new style stadiums, there's a lot of red seats and they fade really badly, like the ones at the Stadium of Light, and it's really obvious.
Yeah, I mean, the attendance was about 21,000.
It's not too bad, but just it looks bad, do you not think?
We had a large area of security seating between the Millwall fans and the Borough fans, but 21,000, I think the stadium capacity is in the 30,000.
I think it's about 34.
It's a Premier League ground. It's going to be only three quarters full. The thing I noticed, and I spoke after my podcast to a mate of mine who's a Borough fan, there's no love at all for Tony Pulis up there. He divides opinion like Marmite, you know.
We spoke to a podcaster last week, didn't we, on the show, and he said it's a little bit unsure.
Just signed John Obi Mikel.
Yes, they did sign John Obi Mikel today.
Absolutely mental.
And they're fifth in the table. They're certainly playoff material. I mean, I wouldn't say top two is out of the question. So I don't get this modern day, and I think the Premier League plays its part in this, people's tastes, I don't want to expect kind of Ajax 1974 every week. You know, the division is a grind division, and they're grinding out results. I mean, to get back into that game against Millwall.
But
a good performance in the end.
I don't really think that Middlesbrough should be in a position where they're having to grind out results. I mean, I just looked at their bench. I was just speaking to Brian and James about it. It's absolutely unbelievable when you see just how few goals they've scored this season. And with that squad, There's no excuse. There really isn't for not getting promoted. Look, on their bench, right, they've got Asamoah Longa.
Yep.
It was about 15 mil.
Yeah,
you know, across the last 5-6 years, one of the top goal scorers in the Championship. One of those ones who guarantees you goals if you play him. Yeah. He's not playing. He plays Jordan Tugel instead of him week in, week out. Paddy McNair, playing for Manchester United, playing for Sunderland, about £5 million, Northern Ireland international. Ashley Fletcher, brought in from West Ham for about £7 million. Stuart Downing, obviously played for England, West Ham, Liverpool.
Sounds like a TK Maxx type of bench, doesn't it? It's just they've signed names. They went and got a load of gear.
Aiden Flint. Was he about £8 million from Bristol City?
Fantastic.
Ravish Van Lapara got him on loan from Huddersfield. He was playing for them week in, week out. And this isn't even for going into their starting 11. It's. I can understand why a Middlesbrough fan would be like, it's not good enough.
I could say that, but I think the Championship's evolved sort of over the last two seasons. I think I can see that more this season. That last season, it's all about philosophy. The bigger clubs have a philosophy.
Yeah.
Bielsa, before that, you obviously had the Wolves manager last season.
Karanka,
the one at Fulham, the one that Fulham sat. They've all got a style of playing. So the kind of big three Premier League managers, obviously Klopp, Mourinho and Pep, sort of have their style of playing. And the Championship's sort of like a Diet Coke of that, where you sort of have three teams that seem to want to play in a style. I mean, Nottingham Forest are a strange team. They play lovely football, but I couldn't watch it every week, and they get beat a lot. Do you know what I mean?
It's absolutely.
Like there's no backbone. You need flair players. This is the thing.
It's that word you just said there, actually. Backbone. There was no backbone to that Middlesbrough side, and the crowd were on their case.
But how is there not? Look at the team they've
but
got.
But that doesn't necessarily. I think you have to look at the teams that are doing well. Everyone loves to have an academy player that's their own. And you look at good sides, they always have an academy player. West Ham have got Declan Rice at the moment. Chelsea haven't ever found one, which is a reason why they're unhappy. Manchester United always brought talent through. Rashford, obviously. Mm. You have to bring players through to get the crowd on side. We've got Ben Thompson back. And the difference is that you will allow them time. And I think this all adds into this kind of outsider and getting the club and all this kind of sort of. It's very weird football, isn't it? It's patriotic, it's tribal. You need to have an affinity there. And when it's not going well, your youth team player, your academy player, your prospects kind of paper over the cracks. Do you get what I mean?
I do.
You kind of get team of tribe.
It's a game of emotion. I mean, I was also interested to see Jules Savile, £8 million worth of Jules Savile, which was another point.
One of the cheaper ones in their team.
Yeah, but that was a point of conversation with my Mark, who the Borough fan. They're feeling short-changed by that deal. Now, I said to him, you know, it was interesting to watch Savile play. He was a pale shadow of the player that we had last season. It was instrumental in the 17-game unbeaten run. Why is that?
The Millwall effect.
The Millwall effect. But then that was built on the emotional roller coaster of the surge of the unbeaten run. And at the moment, Borough aren't sparking in
that
way.
You've said it before, that certain players find their home. Whether this be Andy Reid at Nottingham Forest, this be Morrison at Millwall, there's certain players who are, on their day, you look at them and go, why are they there?
Mm.
But their day's 1 in 5, but on that fifth day, they are...
Unplayable.
And the thing is the, you know, the Morrison, the Marshalls, the Savills all seem to play beyond themselves last season, and they've gone to other clubs and it hasn't worked out for them.
No, it hasn't. And it was also interesting just to see the impact. Generally, a Millwall crowd is the most critical crowd of its own players. You know, I mean, we're known for destroying our own players.
Ryan Tunnicliffe.
Yeah, we I wouldn't put him in that. I was thinking back to Lewis Graben, John Marquis to a degree. You know, we hound our own, but it was interesting to watch it being done to another team, because the home crowd really turned on their own side within the first misplaced pass.
But 100% get like what you guys are saying about, you know, a youth prospect, you kind of, you know, do give them a little bit more time and patience, but that's not really what's going on with Middlesbrough. It's because they're so frustrated, because there's no excuse for playing the way that they play because of the players that they've got. If you are, you know, got limited resources, you kind of accept that your manager may go to somewhere like Middlesbrough and kind of look to just keep it tight and try and nick something. But Middlesbrough, right, they've scored 31 goals this season in 28 games. Yeah. They're fifth. Yeah. You know, Reading in the relegation zone have scored more.
Yeah,
are in the relegation zone.
Yeah.
which would be the argument of it is working because they're where they. At the end of the day, if they get in the playoffs and they win 1-0 in the playoff final, are they going to moan?
I think it's
so. If you had that kind of cash, right, and you got that kind of team, yes, of course we'd rather be fifth than in the relegation zone. That's not the debate. But would you not be frustrated if you're watching your Millwall side with that kind of talent and it was being so hamstrung by someone like Tony Pulis?
The eternal debate in football.
It's balance, though.
Do you want to be entertained or do you want to win?
It's balance.
I want to win.
I mean, at the moment, Middlesbrough are not doing too badly. They're fifth in the table. They're looking upwards and they've got the potential to go through the playoff football to the Premier League. That's a winning season by any normal measure. But the crowd there, I think, want to get into this West Ham way idea that you're going to be titillated by the beauty
of the... But look at last season. The 17-game unbeaten run for us is the closest I've ever come to feeling like we're invincible. You turn up and you think you're going to win.
Yeah,
and it's weird. It's a very, very weird... Well, even that game... As I said, that was a shootout. Whoever won that for me was going to win the playoffs because of the momentum. And we did score a goal. It was given as a thing. But on that moment, on such, one
some
turn of pitch.
Some fine margins turn. Yeah.
But turning up every week, we're only winning 1-0. And we were hanging on for dear life in a load of games. I remember we scored early against Forest and won 1-0 inside like 60 seconds last season. This idea that you have to play beautiful football and everyone can't be Barcelona. Someone has to be, has to be
Harry,
the choosing
where but I'm just not having Tony Pulis. I'm just not having him. We need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to speak to Omar. He's going to be on the phone. He's from the 1885 podcast. Welcome back. It's the Millwall Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. We've got Harry and Nick in the studio. We've got Omar on the phone. Omar, good evening.
Are you all right?
Yeah, very, very well indeed. So, look, Omar, we're just having a little debate, actually, in the studio about the Tony Pulis Middlesbrough side. I mean, they are fifth in the league, but what do you make of them? Would you be annoyed if you're watching your Millwall side with that kind of talent play so boringly week in, week out, even if they were picking up, good results more often than not?
I think it's a catch-22, that one. I mean, you do want to see a team play exciting football, but at the end of the day, I think it's the reason why we debate it, if you want your team to win games week in, week out. But I think it's a hard one. I mean, Tony Pulis is just renowned for his style of play, isn't he? So, I mean, personally, myself, I'd like to see a mix of both, but you can't have both in the best cases. So, I mean, for me, winning games is what it's about, the buzz after a game.
Absolutely. I quite like Tony Pulis. I don't get this trying to downer on Tony Pulis.
Poor man's Neil Harris.
I don't dislike him as a man. I find him actually quite entertaining in terms of like press and all that. You know, he's not a boring man.
No, he's not. No.
But I just think the football is turgid.
I think he can be summed up by the fact that he wears a tracksuit on the sidelines when his days of wearing a tracksuit should have ended in about 2004.
He also stands up, by the way, for every single press conference.
He also tries to head in an invisible ball from every corner.
I mean, he loves it. He's a character, but yeah, I couldn't watch him week
him
in, week
out. Him or Warnock?
I mean, Warnock's all right.
I like
Warnock. I mean, again, I wouldn't want him probably managing my team.
I want him Brexit secretary, I think.
To hell with the lot of him. Omar, what did you make of that result then? Was it heartbreaking, I presume, to concede so late on?
Oh, massively. I think we played really well on the day. I think if you're looking at the game and you didn't watch it and you look at the statistics, you might be thinking, oh, we didn't really dominate the occasion. But I think we managed the game really well. And to be honest with you, deserve to take away all 3 points. And obviously, heartbreaking at the end. Obviously, a bit of... you wouldn't expect it from someone like Steve Morrison to make a mistake and give away a penalty the way he did. But, I mean, it happened. And I think you only got to look at the positives there and look at the turn of the year. We've done much better. So hopefully we can kick on and keep going.
Homer, it's the first time in Millwall recent history where I thought I could see a way where we looked threatening without Steve Morrison in the team. It was the first performance without minus Steve Morrison till the very end, obviously, where we looked actually dangerous without him. And I thought that was quite an interesting development in Millwall tactical thinking,
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think, Harris gets a lot of critics for the tactics we've been playing. I think that's obviously, towards the end of December, there's a lot of, we're playing 4-4-2, there's no kind of mixing it up, it's kind of predictable, and maybe teams are sussing us out. But I think if you look at it on Saturday, I mean, you've got players like Thompson in there, you've got Wallace, you've got Leonard, Gregory, players that are going to be winning runners for us and obviously try and take the game by the scruff of the neck. And I think it showed. I think we looked lively on the break, and we're three in the middle. I mean, Mill playing 4-3-3. I couldn't believe it when Atenas came out at 2 o'clock. And, yeah, I think it definitely looks like a kind of maybe an option that we could use going forward.
He went 4-3-3 away at Ipswich after the worst 45 minutes I've seen us play all year. And that is saying something for people that have watched this more than a handful of occasions. And he played Morrison as a right winger, and he just went and stood on their young right left back and just absolutely bullied him out of the game, like we know he can do on his day. But to play 4-4-3, I saw obviously Harris come out and said afterwards that he's wanted to play this, and I think I do believe him, because I don't think this all goes back to the start of the season. I don't think Millwall ever thought Saville was going to leave. I generally don't think that planning was to, you know, Carrickham was an emergency loan to try and stiffen up the midfield. Tunnicliffe hasn't really worked out. I know a lot of people seem to like him. I don't understand what you see, because it was proven away at Middlesbrough. You know, you've got two ball passers. They're already in two runners. Leonard is just as good as Tunnicliffe, and for me, better. So Thompson coming back in, he's your Purlock, he's your Briley. You need one of the three to put their body on the line. And from what I watched, I mean, I didn't go, I watched it on the foreign channel. I managed to watch it live. So for me, looked so much better. And again, Ben Marshall again. And I don't think this time Ben Marshall will leave the club. I generally believe it's a move alone.
This time is forever.
In the summer. Yeah, I think Ben Marshall, the way he speaks about the club, I guess it's time for Ben to come home, really, both of them, properly.
I thought he was a standout player up there, Omar, didn't you, Ben Marshall?
Yeah, definitely. He's that quality on the ball, isn't he? I think, obviously, it was harsh on Ferguson, people were saying before the game, to obviously drop him, because he was playing really well for us. But I think you could see, like, the team just... I think it was a tactic, I think, actually, to not play Ferguson that left-back and play Wallace, because I think every time we had a goal kick, Wallace went forward and tried to win the headers, because obviously there was no presence up front. But I think, Marshall was just that quality on the ball, and I agree with Harry. I hopefully he does stick around. And I think I noticed the 4-3-3 change as well. We've done the same against Hull in the third round, and it turned us around and we won 2-1. So it's definitely something that I think, like obviously Harris has said, he wants to play, and it looks definitely promising after Saturday.
I'm liking Jed Wallace in this strikerish role that he's got now, isn't he? He's kind of
the,
like,
new Mo Salah.
It's kind of a striking role, and I just think it gives him a freedom, and he's a very talented, very creative player. I just like him further forwards as much as we can get him there.
I mean, definitely, I have to agree. I think he's definitely one of those players that you get on the ball more often than not. We're hopefully going to get him brought up, and yeah, it showed on Saturday.
I think it's quite a good tactical nuance, isn't it? Because the free beam forward, Wallace would, I'd class as a busy player. Gregory's obviously busy. Marshall's busy. So you have the mobility for when you lose the ball. It doesn't just sort of, you know, it might sound like I'm digging him out, but Aidan O'Brien is not the most
busy,
hard-working player without the ball. And obviously, when we lose the ball, which is a lot of the time, especially away from home, sometimes we go, he doesn't make that five-yard run just to take the easy side-foot pass out and stop the angle, where you're not going to get that with Ben Marshall. He's a bit more defensively minded. And so Jeb Wallace has developed that part of his game, and Gregory will know what we're going to get. So I think, you know, ideally, if Ben Marshall and Ben Thompson weren't cup tied this weekend, I think we'd have a really good chance of upsetting Everton. But obviously, with them being cup tied, I think we'll go back to 4-4-2 and boring, to be honest.
Well, it'd be mate doing men this weekend, wouldn't it? I mean, the improvements directly down to players that can't play on Saturday, this coming Saturday. So there will be a bit of a cut and paste kind of feeling to it. But I think the den factor this Saturday will play its part, Omar, don't you? I think it's a near full house. I don't know if it's sold out yet, but that's going to be a massive factor in. I don't think Everton will have experienced an atmosphere quite like the den on tasty fixture night.
That's it, I have to agree. I think, whilst I know what Harry's getting at with going back to the 4-4-2, I think it's set up in the headlines, Morrison to grab the winner, isn't it? I mean, in my opinion, I still think we'll get the game.
You heard it here first, listeners.
That's the season ticket for next season. The back voter on the season card.
I like your style, Omar.
I think it's just set up in the headlines. I think, like you say, about, you know, a 5:30 kick-off, everyone's going to be, you know, had a few beers during the day, it's going to be a good atmosphere. It's kind of nuts, you know.
What could possibly go wrong?
I think, you know, I'm thinking positively. I really think, I think Everton, like I say, they don't know what's going to hit them. And I think if they made a lot of changes against Lincoln in the third round, if they do the same on Saturday, they're not going to know what's coming. I think it's going to be an interesting occasion, honestly.
All right, top man Omar, really appreciate your time this evening, mate.
No problem. Thanks for time.
That's Omar. Cheers, there, from the 1885 podcast. Just taking a little kind of
change of sport for a moment. If you didn't see in the cricket today, England were bowled out for just 77. Kamar Roach taking 5 for 17. Fairly decent figures for him. West Indies will start the day tomorrow back in bat. We have got another game of football this evening. It's the Carabao Cup. Second leg, a semi-final between Chelsea and Spurs. In just a couple of moments, I will run through the team news. Maurizio Sarri making 3 changes from that defeat against Arsenal last time out. Welcome back. The Millwall Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio on till 8.30 this evening. Jake Watson joined by Harry and Nick in the studio. 7.45 kick-off in this Carabao Cup semi-final at Stamford Bridge. Maurizio Sarri has made 3 changes from that team that lost 2-0 to Arsenal last time out. Marcus Alonso, Kovacic and Willian dropped to the bench while Emerson, Ross Barkley and Olivier Giroud come into the side. Hudson-Odoi is amongst the substitutes. Gonzalo Higuain obviously not registered in time to play this evening. For Spurs, Moussa Sissoko is one of 5 changes from the weekend's win at Fulham. Sissoko joins Gazzaniga, Serge Aurier, Ben Davies and Eric Dier in the team, while Hugo Lloris, Davinson Sanchez, Kieran Trippier, Danny Rose and Dele Alli all drop out. So just to summarise the starting lineup for Chelsea, it's Kepa, Azpilicueta, Luiz, Rudiger, Emerson, Jorginho, Kante, Barkley, Pedro, Giroud and Hazard. And the Spurs side is Gazzaniga, Aurier, Alderweireld, Vertonghen, Davies, Dier, Winks, Sissoko, Eriksen, Lamela and Llorente. We can head over to Stamford Bridge now, where Joe Rawson will be watching it for us.
Chelsea boss Maurizio Sarri will be hoping for a response from his players after he launched an extraordinary criticism of them following their defeat at the weekend to Arsenal. He called his side hard to motivate, but a cup final against Manchester City could be the kick from behind spur them on against Spurs tonight. Though it's Tottenham that have the advantage. A controversial VAR Harry Kane penalty in the first leg means they lead 1-0, but they'll be without their leading marksman tonight because of injury. At Stamford Bridge, it's Chelsea versus Tottenham.
Thanks, Joe. And just to update you in the cricket, West Indies are back in bat, 26 without loss. Nick, well, both of you, I know you like your cricket. Not a good day for England.
Awful day. Absolutely awful day.
I finished another job, went to the gym, came into here, sat down and watched the TV. I was like, what? Is it about 46 for 7? Are my eyes working?
We collapsed. I mean, we actually cleaned up the West Indies for, it was about 280-ish.
But we were on top, weren't we?
we should have been from there. And if the players are playing to their capability, we should be cruising at the moment, but it was the old the classic English collapse in the Caribbean.
The top order are useless.
Well, I don't know about useless.
As the cook gone.
Keaton Jennings doesn't convince me. He always looks slightly mortified every time a ball is bowled at him, you know.
All it's got to be is straightening the corridor of uncertainty and England will get themselves out. That's just it.
One thing I would say is, if you're going to be miserable, that's a fantastic place to be miserable.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
We're just watching
the amazing.
The swimming pool and the speed jet skis.
Yeah. Jet ski on the beach, pint in hand, watching England. Don't really care what the score is.
And it's Bumble said yesterday there's a bunch of them on the sauce in the afternoon, so they've still got the evening to go.
Well, apparently, yesterday, they ran out of beer. This is true. Apparently, they ran out of beer.
Wow.
I know. So I think they're just on rum.
That's what happened.
Just sticks to the rum.
To be fair, that sounds like the green man at Wembley after Millwall won.
So West Indies, 28 without loss. Definitely.
I was interested to hear Sarri talking about Chelsea and the quote about hard players to motivate. And I found that, just going back to the Pulis thing earlier, without revisiting it too much, because he's clearly failing to motivate his players, because as you rightly say, that's a valuable squad and players of, you know, championship quality. Not being motivated. Now, if Sarri, with all of his wealth and riches and the whole Chelsea thing, can't get his team fired up, it's interesting that players will either all play for some managers and not others.
I thought it was strange for Sarri to say what he has, because he's proper sold some of his players out. He's hung them out to dry. Even saying today about Hazard saying he's not a natural lead, and I was like, so what if he isn't? Why? There's no need to say it. And as someone correctly pointed out, the amount of trophies that Chelsea side has won, and Richard Sarri has never won anything. And now, you know, that's not necessarily his fault, but just feels a little bit. To say you can't motivate a group of players who have won so much, then it would suggest then maybe you're the problem.
No, I think they're the problem.
Really?
They're massively a problem. They just decide to down tools whenever they don't like being told what to do as a group collectively.
That's the modern player, though.
Well, no. I know it's the modern player, but if you have 3 or 4 of them in a dressing room, I presume it's manageable. When you have 11 or 12 out of a squad of 23 that think they're better than everyone, Hazard, for me, is a bit of a luxury player. If he doesn't play left wing, that's it. You don't want to know. You know, you look at what Sarri did for Dries Mertens. He turned him from a nobody, really, into a fantastic goal scorer in Serie A. And that's what he tried to do to Hazard. It hasn't worked. But Chelsea knew when they got Sarri, Sarri plays 4-3-3. Mm. They signed him. They backed him. Jorginho hasn't worked out. And they've got no one to hit. Now they've got someone to hit. They haven't really... They're still in the Champions League places. Football's mad. Football's gone mad. Everyone is either doing really well or in crisis. We're in crisis. Yeah. Brexit crisis. Chelsea are in crisis. The word crisis should be banned unless you are literally really in a crisis of some form. House is burning down. That's a crisis.
Hard to feel sorry for Chelsea. But
yeah. Really. 7:45 kickoff anyway in that one. Joe Rawson. And we'll have it on the studio as well. So we'll let you know when the goals go in. Spurs, of course, leading 1-0 from the first leg. But back to the Tony Pulis, the Middlesbrough, the Millwall game. Any complaints whatsoever about the penalty?
Yes.
Because I have to say, obviously I didn't have the luxury of being in the comfy seats at the Riverside. Just on the replay, I had to watch it 3 or 4 times to work out who it was that did whatever
in
it
real
was.
Time I couldn't have told you what quick, what the offence was. I mean, Harry, you texted me because you were watching it on the TV and said it was a push. I couldn't see. I was so far away.
Push in the same way that, you know, it's like moving. If you try and get onto a busy rush hour train and you sort of slowly move past someone, you put your hand sort of near someone in their general direction, it's a penalty to the letter of the law. My problem is that if you're going to blow up for that, you've got to blow up probably 7 or 8 times a game, which is my issue with the rule of contact in the box. I just think that as soon as you grab hold of another player in the box and you grab someone's shirt, that's completely different than trying to guide someone. If you go up and battle, that's completely different. Daniel Ayala, I think, is the player who went over, who's got a bit of a reputation of being a bit...
Going over easily.
I can't say the word, but house. But it's the word. And I think, you know, it's... Would it have been overturned on VAR if we have VAR in the Championship? I don't know. Would that... Maybe they should have rolled it out in the Championship first, which is my opinion, but they haven't. I think it's unlucky, but it's... At least we didn't concede from open play. That would be my kind of thing. Normally we concede late goals. That's a completely different way of conceding. We're finding new ways to do the same thing.
These players will go down easily. It was the last few seconds of the game. Morrison has touched him. He's gone over. And that's what you get in professional football. That's what happens. So you can't really complain at the player trying it on. The referee's fallen for it. We would have taken a 1-1 draw going up there. I mean, it's one of those situations where your glass is half full because we were leading for so long, playing so well and looking so good by, you know, the comparison with our season to date. It just feels like you've had you've lost 20 quid and found a tenner, you know.
Yeah, still picked up a point away from home in Middlesbrough on the face of it. It's a good point. We're trying to stay up this season. We're under no illusions that there are 3 teams worse than us in the division.
It was a strong performance. It was a strong performance.
Silly though. Sorry to go back to it.
It was naive.
It is, and it shouldn't be.
And Steve Morrison should know better.
At 35 years old, in the last minute, it's the last player you'd expect to be so naive. And you know, it's not clear cut. It's not a stone wall, but you can see why the referee has given it. You know,
but I suppose I can't see why he hasn't given the one in the first half. Then that's my argument with it. You know, it's what they see and what they don't see. He seems to have a very...
There is also, you know, a well-known FA conspiracy to
yes,
do
there
down,
is, yes,
you know.
There is.
And you know, he will be aware of that, the referee, so he's under instructions.
Yeah, that's why I like it. That's why I sometimes like it when we play on TV. When we play on TV, I feel
they're
like
exposed.
The conspiracy...
They're exposed.
Yeah.
the light is shone into the dark corners.
Gary Lineker, with some of his views on Brexit, might get a nice warm reception.
Right, Harry, we're banning Brexit. any mention of the word from now on, you've got
Brexit hooter.
You've got a 3-strike rule. Rosie, producer, get a hooter. And family fortune.
Klaxon.
We've lost your 3 lives. That's going to be the sound, mate.
Yeah.
If you do Brexit three more times.
We'll do Ian Wright or Tim Cahill rolled out as Millwall fan number 1 on the BBC this weekend. We'll find that. Next time we're in.
So Harry's had a quiet word in the ear. Next one is a yellow card.
Yeah.
There's a red.
That's your first warning, mate. We need to take a break. When we get back, we're going to talk about that formation change. It's been something you've been kind of calling out for. We'll talk about Ben Thompson as well. It's the first start for me all this season.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So, Harry, you mentioned that Neil Harris tried this 4-3-3 against Ipswich to mixed success.
Well, it worked.
And you've been calling out for it.
Yep.
You've been wanting it back. You did it again against Middlesbrough. Is this now going to be the way forward for Millwall?
Yes, but not this Saturday. If we have the players to play it, it works. I don't think Ferguson's naturally a left sort of forward slash winger. Inside, no. I think they call it inside forward, if we're using the old
football manager
idea. Yeah, inside forward role.
That's the only time I've ever heard that phrase.
Yeah, I know, that's it, yeah.
It's like harking back to the old 5-3-2 days. When first game of football I played at school, and going back to the 60s, we actually had positions called inside left and outside right, and we had to wear little bibs with OR outside
like
right.
Like they're doing netball?
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, I'll digress.
That's quite a good coaching wave. Maybe the FA should bring that back so people learn positional
sense. Five forwards against two defenders.
Yeah. Man City play that, don't they? They just all go forward.
That's all right, though, because they're good.
Yeah, that's different. No, I think it's a possibility. It's nice to see Neil Harris. Remember, Neil Harris is a young manager. Neil Harris has had phenomenal success in his short managerial career. And, of course, he will be learning, like anyone in any job. You go for a period of, you know, something works that you're working on for a period of time, and then all of a sudden it doesn't work anymore, and you have to change and you have to adapt. Such is life.
We are moving towards the post-Steve Morrison era.
Which
is a thing at Millwall. I mean, he's come back. He's repeatedly left us and come back. Most recently, you know, was it 2014 he came back? Yep. Something like that. 15 potentially. And, you know, we have built our game around the use of Steve Morrison's talents, his guile, especially in League One. He's a very intelligent player. And, you know, even at Championship level, he gets us out of situations. But unfortunately, like all of us, Father Time creeps up and taps you on the shoulder and says, it's time to start, you know, hanging up your boots soon, Steve. And we are at that point. So this season for me has been tough because Steve Morrison has not been playing at his absolute best. He can't do 90 minutes relentlessly. And we've been trying to find a way forward. And I thought, as I said to Omar, the 4-3-3 using Ben Marshall, quality player, using Jed further forwards, Lee Gregory, fantastic player. You start to see a way forwards for us that is not as based on that relentless Morrisonian diagonal ball over the
and
top.
And almost this idea that by signing Bradshaw was like a clear sign that Gregory's going, which I don't believe it is. I've never believed that. I think you need two strikers that can do that role simply because the amount of work you have to put into it.
He runs himself into the ground, Gregory.
So Gregory's a 70-minute player because he does the work of 120 minutes in those 70 minutes.
And Bradshaw being injured was chronic bad luck. I mean, there's nothing...
Well, this is it. Every time they've tried to make a change this season, something else has slapped them across the face.
It's been one of those seasons.
You know, we never had that last season. We didn't go... I think Millwall named... I think like 21 players last season, something ridiculous, which is extremely low considering the fact
massively
of some squad's depth. And yeah, you're right, 4-4-3. To be honest, it's not necessarily a 4-3-3 anyway. You can play it 4-5-1 when you haven't got the ball, and I think maybe they'll play 4-5-1 this weekend, which is an adaptation on the 4-3-3, because all you'll do is just tell the wingers to be a bit more circumspect when going forward.
Do you think though, with Steve Morrison kind of coming towards the end. He's certainly going to start fewer games than...
He's coming in for the last 20 minutes now.
Yeah,
now,
but do you think that'll almost force Mill a little bit to adapt in terms of the way they play? Because when you've got, you know, a Peter Crouch on the pitch, when you've got a QPR Matt Smith, it's natural that you try to find him in that same way. If you've got Lee Gregory, who's significantly shorter, a different player to Steve, it may force you to play a different way, particularly as they watching the highlights against Middlesbrough. It was kind of hit them on the break, and it was very quick, and it was on the floor. And, you know, that's not Steve Morrison, is it? So, I mean, you could, in the future, see a completely different kind of style of football, maybe.
Well, in the 6 minutes that we saw of Bradshaw before he got injured, he hit a 45-yard outside of the foot pass, and I was like, "Whoa,
who's this guy?
What have we signed here?"
Yeah. Then he hurt himself,
and then he hurt himself. You know, the rumor is, you know, there's been rumors. The Millwall rumors at transfer windows are fantastical, aren't they? They're brilliant.
Absolutely.
I mean, anyone from Charlie Austin to Maxwell for QPR has been mentioned, and everyone in between. The bin man apparently has got a trial next Monday
decent
as well.
Player.
And then there's why can't we loan half the Arsenal or Chelsea back bench? You know, there's always this kind of mania for
Premier League
signings, but with Millwall fire in their belly, you know. I also was interested in Ben Thompson coming back. I mean, I think he's going to make a big difference to our midfield. I mean, it was just noticeable for Saturday that suddenly we look busy, that word again, in midfield, and that's the Ben factor. He will give you that dynamism that we've missed.
Also, the stopping of shots from 25 yards, which seemed to be last season, was a massive issue for us because we've very rarely conceded goals inside the box. Most of them come from, you know, the clearance, the half clearance, knocked back out. And I think five or six times there were clear chances for Middlesbrough to hit one from 25 yards, and all of a sudden this 5 foot two leg comes flying around the corner, or head, you know, he jumps.
I noticed that bodies were put on the line again.
Yeah.
That's like it was last season when we went on the unbeaten run. People, you know, you had characters like Cahill in the team, Marshall. I think they are no nonsense characters. They will call it out if they see you pulling out of a challenge when the shot's going on goal. They'll tell you straight, and that was quite noticeable.
I think Ben Marshall only come back for the kebab shop.
I'm glad he's back.
On Ben Thompson though, and talk about being glad that somebody's back.
Yeah.
A real good example of the loan system, really, because it's strange, isn't it, that, you know, Millwall have not got a huge squad. They've not got, you know, a gluttony of options to play in midfield. They send out a player who could have been involved and would have been involved in the first team to Portsmouth, where he's then played pretty well. He's come straight from League One and straight into your side. You kind of see, it's quite rare, isn't it, that a player goes on loan and then comes straight back and starts for the team. So clearly this is a situation where Neil Harris looked at it thinking, yeah, you're a good player, I like you, but you need a proper run of games. And he's got that, and he's come back, and he's a better player, and he can proper contribute now.
I think three or four of the Millwall youth team, there was quite a successful youth team probably about 3 or 4 years ago itself now, with Fred Onyedimna, Aidan O'Brien, Sid Nelson, Ben Thompson, and probably the worst of them at coming through was seen to be Ben Thompson.
Mm.
And it's actually flipped completely the way around. But Sid Nelson was held up as the shining light, the captain of that side. Hasn't really worked for Sid. He's gone out on loan.
Swindon now.
He's gone to Swindon. He is back at the moment. Mm. I don't know whether he'll go back out, but apparently he's improved markedly as well. You know, Millwall, under Kenny Jackett, for all of Kenny Jackett's brilliance that he'd had when he was under Millwall, the youth team didn't get a look in. We never really promoted from within. And now we're sort of, Neil Harris obviously had his small period with the youth team while Holloway was there. We shall not speak of Ian Holloway.
No.
That's a dirty word.
It's almost as bad as Brexit.
Worse than Brexit. And you mentioned it, so
I'm in charge. That doesn't count. Take that back.
That was good. So basically, now we seem to have this idea that we loan players out to smaller clubs than ourselves, although Portsmouth could be seen when they're in the same
probably take offence at
Let's
that.
Let's not do that debate again, the big club debate.
Well, no, but they were very keen to sign Ben Thompson, but for me, he is his future captain. You know, there's no doubt.
The Ben Thompson we sent to Portsmouth, though, there's always this sense that he was, you know, full of Millwall industry and fire, but there was a certain lack of maturity in his play at times. The player that's come back from Pompey, I think, is a more mature player, and it is contrasting, I think, with Fred and Aidan O'Brien to a degree, who are not often mature players in their decision making, whereas Ben seems to have gone up a level.
I think 4-3-3 will suit Ben and Fred more than it would necessarily suit Aidan O'Brien, because Aidan O'Brien's sort of not really a winger and not really a striker, Fred on the wing or running at people, when the ball's at his feet and he gets to run at people, he's a very, very dangerous player. You know, there's a reason Crystal Palace wanted him. There's a reason that all these clubs were linked with him, because when he's got the ball at his feet, which you'll get a lot more time in a 4-3-3 for me, then lumping it forward.
Do you think we'll see him Saturday?
He's cup tied, mate.
He's cup tied. We can't see him Saturday.
Another player.
Well spotted, Harry.
Yes, that's why you're here, mate. that could suit and benefit from this change in system. You mentioned Jed Wallace earlier on, and I remember last week when we were speaking to the Middlesbrough chap, we were talking about George Saville, and you're saying you bought the wrong one. Jed Wallace, was he kind of the standout performer again? I know he scored the goal.
Jed always gives you a Jed performance. He never actually gives you anything less, and sometimes it's his downfall, because he tries so hard that by the end of the game he's running around trying anything to make something happen.
I'll do a step over in his own box to try and get he carries
a burden for the team, because he knows he's the best, most creative player, and therefore it's on him. I think the what really got me on Saturday was the fact that there are now other players that can also make something happen, that can do the unexpected. Yeah. It's not just on Jed anymore. And I think that will really help him.
I think that helps Jed, because it draws the eye to hang on a minute. Instead of
you've
just
got to be watching Ben Marshall.
Yeah, you've got to watch both of them. And that sort of leaves the centre halves with Gregory Watt-1, and that creates confusion. I think playing two, people are quite happy to sit there with a bank of four and sit there and it all come down the middle. Now you've got to go, well, do I go to... I mean, the goal, you watch the goal, there's two centre halves on Lee Gregory.
They've
both gone to Lee Gregory.
He's
and all of a sudden,
very strong player. I mean, the improvement in Lee Gregory since he came to us from Halifax Town.
250k.
250,000. It was Holloway that signed him, actually, wasn't it?
Yeah.
There's that word again, the Holloway hooter. But no, the improvement as a player over that time. I mean, who knows what's going to become of Lee Gregory? There's a contract on the table for him. I think he's got family up north. He's got other considerations, but I'd love to see him stay.
Yeah, and do you know what, Harry? Hold that thought on Lee Gregory, because we'll have a proper chat about him next.
This is Love Sport.
We're a couple minutes in to the game at Stamford Bridge, still goalless between Chelsea and Spurs. Second leg of the Carabao Cup semi-final. Spurs leading a 1-0 from the first leg, but it's the Millwall fan show here on Love Sport Radio until 8:30 this evening. We've got Harry and Nick in the studio, so let's have a proper chat about Lee Gregory. So Nick, update us on the situation, because it's one that's perhaps been rumbling on for a little while now, but there has been a development as such in the last couple of weeks, isn't there?
Yeah, well, in the sense that there is a lucrative, and that's a direct quote.
Who used that quote?
Lucrative.
The club?
Yes.
Well, it's come from the club. I mean, it's on news at Den, and they have their links inside the club hierarchy. So there is a lucrative deal on the table. I don't know how that would compare for Lee to go back home, because he comes from Yorkshire. So, he is a vastly improved player. He will have caught the attention of other teams that, strikers are gold dust, good strikers are gold dust. And we're still in the January transfer window, so whether there's any interest from up north, and I think he's out of contract in the summertime, so we want to sign him up. I agree with putting our best offer forwards. We apparently Millwall have not have a policy of not offering more than 1 year at a time to players over the age of 30, which I find a much breakable rule if the situation's right, and this is the right situation to break that rule. So I'm guessing it's a decent deal. The ball's in Lee's court. I don't know what his family situation is. I think he's got a young family, Harry, and probably want to get back to his home turf. Can't blame him for that. He's been a very good servant for our club, and he's whatever he decides to do, I think Millwall fans should hold their take their hats off to Lee Gregory. He's been a fantastic servant for us.
I think it was the same rumour last season, wasn't it?
It's always,
it's been going on for a while, this rumour of wanting to go back up north. It's followed him around for a good couple of years.
They used that for Byron Webster, and Byron Webster came out afterwards and said it was complete nonsense.
Yeah.
So I think it's Millwall fans panicking.
But has Lee ever come out? Because obviously,
Lee's never said anything. Never comments, I don't think.
He's not on social media. There's quite a few Millwall players not on social media, which is quite refreshing.
It's a good thing. Absolutely.
It can only be a good thing.
There's nothing to gain from it.
Apart from, you get a few odd ones. Aidan O'Brien's quite on there, and you get a nice couple of Ben Thompson, a few of the younger ones, which get you know, your nice couple of Instagram stories of them putting bins outside Hutchinson's Peg, which are quite funny.
Do you enjoy this?
I enjoy a little bit of the youngsters doing it. I wouldn't really, I don't know how I'd feel with Morrison sort of being
Morrison
on.
Don't touch it. He's
Morrison being on. Could you imagine Steve Morrison being on Twitter? Just loads of noises and faces.
A fantastic picture of Steve Morrison in like a club or somewhere with a bottle of champagne that is at the end of the season. Dancing. And I thought, it doesn't look right. It's like your dad dancing at a party. Or me dancing. You don't want to see it, do you?
I
bumped into Stephen Morrison. I think it was a Tesco's in Norfolk when he was playing for Norwich.
Yeah.
Just lived in the local town that I lived in. It was often seen in the pub. But yeah, it doesn't strike me as the most exciting of bloke, Steve Morrison.
That's greyhounds. He likes greyhounds.
Yarmouth racetracks. He was probably there all the time.
Well, he was there more than what he was on the pitch for Norwich, wasn't he, in the end?
Hey, no, he wasn't too bad for them. Him and Grant Holt, they had a decent partnership.
Grant Holt.
And they got good money for him, didn't they? They did the swap deal basically with Luciano Becchio, which was one of the worst trades of all time because they were both pants for each other.
Yeah.
Just cancelled each other out.
The link on, for going back to Gregory, is with Sheffield United, Sheffield-born boy. Chris Wilder's playing down that speculation, so the news at then. So what's Wilder said? He's playing it down, so I don't know what that's...
Last season, how do you play down that? Last season, didn't they offer three?
Get down.
So last season, they offered three quarters of a mil. I thought.
Okay.
Was the deal.
So we know there has been previous interest before in
by Sheffield United. Yeah. Last season, 750k they offered, and Derby were interested as well. But this was in their previous incarnation before they become Frank Lampard's Derby, of course,
and Ashley Cole.
Yeah, I'm supposed. How much money must Ashley Cole be on, by the way?
I think I was reading it's 15,000.
Which is still more money than the entire Millwall first
year on. I know, but, I mean, he's not doing it for the cash, is he? Well, I hope. Well, we don't know, actually.
It's Ashley Cole. He's definitely doing it for the cash.
He's doing it for the love of the game.
Well, yeah, surely. I'm sure, to be fair, I know this sounds silly, I'd have a cheeky bid for Scott Malone.
Scott Malone?
As a left-back option.
Okay.
Because Scott Malone will not beat Ashley Cole into that first team.
Not anymore.
No. And I would be very surprised if... I know he wears no socks with shoes, and I know there's a lot of Millwall fans now berating Love Sports Twitter handle, going, why you want Scott Malone? But I'd quite like Scott Malone because he's better than Murray Wallace at left-back. So
that's lost us listeners now.
Cheers, Aaron, mate. Couldn't afford that.
Trust me, mate, after last week being told we're bland and safe, I'll go out with random statements of Scott Malone next side in.
But Lee Gregory, would you break the bank to keep him? Because you say we haven't got a whole load of cash, but how important is he?
If we're serious about progressing up the table this season, you've got to do your best to keep your best players. We're not exactly flush with top strikers, and Lee is a vital piece in the jigsaw. So I would certainly go that extra half yard.
You go to Morrison levels. That would be my thing. Yeah. I'd give him parity. The best paid player at the club, I'd guess, is Morrison. I'd say I'd give him parity with Morrison in terms of payments.
And give him a couple of years deal,
Well, I don't know. I think that sets a dangerous precedent, treating one player differently than the rest. This was my issue with the Sever.
I think the precedent in the first place is wrong, isn't it?
No,
it's not, because what happened under previous regimes is we'd sign 30-year-old journeymen like Ricardo Fuller or Gary Taylor-Fletcher.
You just take each one individually. That should be the rule.
Of course, but when
Lee wouldn't go in that same sentence, would he?
I know, but when you look at it from a business point of view, right, you've got 22 staff to manage. How can you physically treat one differently than the rest and expect everyone to be fine? We sometimes forget football is still a business. It's still staff. There's still people. If I'm equally as important as you, if I'm Sean Williams, for example, he's over 30 and he goes back in and go, hang on a minute, a month ago, we didn't have the same conversation.
I'd reach a good deal with the player I want, and I say, look, you keep this secret just between you and me.
Don't tell anyone else.
That's how I'd approach it, Jake.
But I mean, obviously that's not going to work, but Harry, look, I get your point, right? It sets this kind of precedent that, you know, that's what they're going to have to start doing. You've got to manage all these people. But is that not... That's no different than saying if one player is a first-team player at Mill and the other one's a first-team player at Mill, then you're saying that all these players should get the same amount of money. Why should it be any different in terms of then for players over 30 that they can only get a certain
deal? I'm sure their agents sit in meetings and ask for the same amount of money
know that there are first team players who are as important to Mill as others, who may be playing the same position, who are on completely different amounts of money. So why should you then have a rule
because
players of certain ages can only have a certain length of contract?
Because my statement for Gregory would be is that if Lee doesn't want to be here, he won't be here anyway. Do you want players here who aren't willing to buy into the club ethos? So if that's the ethos of the club, that's the ethos of the club. If you don't like it, you don't have to be here.
No, there's a balance to be struck. You pay your best players the best money. That, I mean, it's a meritocracy, Bradshaw, football, isn't it?
Well, I think Bradshaw was signed to put pressure on Lee Gregory. I don't think Bradshaw was signed.
But we don't know what Bradshaw we're going to get back. I mean, I agree, he looked good when we signed him, but he will have been out injured now for
the 8 months or whatever.
Yeah, a long time. And you don't know what kind of player you're going to get back. So to an extent, that's a bit of a wait and see. Is Lee Gregory one of our best players? Yes, he is. Of course he is. He's our top goal scorer, as it says on the news at Den. Has been for some seasons. Is he one of our top performers? Yes, he is. Therefore, within the football world structure, you would look to give him the best possible deal you can give him.
Exactly, but the best possible deal depends.
As good as Sheffield United's deal.
Would you risk alienating your 22 to stop one player from leaving? There's a fine balance. You know, what we're saying with Chelsea, it's quite a similar situation, is that Hazard won't play on... I only want to play if I play on the left. Where does it stop? Where do you stop this before it gets to that level of the difficulty to motivate yourself?
This is where Fred goes wrong. He'll only play on the left. He won't play anywhere.
Yeah.
He's been listening to
only
Hazard.
Only wants him to play on the left at Wickham. That's it.
So what does your gut tell you then, what's going to happen? Because something has to happen one way by the summer.
I think he'll stay, but I don't...
With a one-year deal?
Yeah. Like he did last year. Like he did the year before.
But is this not kind of tactics in terms of letting it go out for as long as possible to try and get it? Surely the negotiation wanting a longer deal.
No, I'm sure the negotiation is him wanting more financial security.
Which is a longer deal.
I presume there is a clause in there, like there is with Steve Morrison. After a certain amount of games, they automatically get a one-year extension.
Yeah.
Which I know Morrison has as well. Mm. I presume there will be add-ons. There will be a release fee if we were to go down. I'm sure there'll be stuff like that added in. It's not simple. It's not a simple deal. It's up to Lee Gregory. If Lee Gregory wants to stay, Lee Gregory will stay. If Lee Gregory wants to go, Lee Gregory will go.
Well, we will wait and see, won't we? 6 months left on his current contract. Will he stay or will he go? There's a song about that. 0-0, by the way, in Stamford Bridge, Spurs against Chelsea. About 15 minutes played at Stamford Bridge. Still goalless. Chelsea did have a chance just then. We're on for another half an hour for the Millwall Fan Show before Charlton take over 8:30 till 10. But still to come on this show, we'll look ahead to that FA Cup game. It should be an absolute cracker. I know Millwall are very much looking forward to welcoming big spending Premier League Everton to the Den. We're going to be joined actually by Michael Ball, former Everton, former Leicester, former England left back, in around 15 or 20 minutes time. So please do stay tuned for that. But before any of that, here on Love Sport Radio, it's your news.
On 558 AM, online, on your smart speaker, and on digital radio. This is Love Sport.
Okay, welcome back. Millwall Fan Show here on Love Sport. Before 8:30, we'll be speaking to Michael Ball. We'll be previewing that FA Cup game, which I'm sure you're both very much looking forward to.
Love conquers everything. Michael Ball, that was the song he did.
Yeah, it's not that one. It's not that Michael Ball.
I wish it was.
Do you know what? I think as well, I'm sure he's had it so many times. If we could avoid any references, yeah. Just in case he hangs up. Just in case.
Oh, I don't want that.
I want to ask him about his year at Leicester City.
I'm going to leave him with you.
I have no idea.
Do you remember Michael Ball at Leicester City?
No.
Me neither, and I support them. But guys, before we do any of that, Spygate. We chatted about it last week. Yeah. There has been a little development. I don't want to talk about it too much, because I'll be honest, I'm a little bit... board.
Spygate app.
Yeah, well, no, we've discussed it, haven't we? We've had the debate whether we think it's right or wrong. But the update is that Mill would have been one of the clubs that have written to the EFL and said, look, we're not happy about this.
I was very, and I think in common with most Mill fans, I don't know if you'd agree with me, Harry, but I was quite disappointed we put our name to that. I don't think it was... It's beneath us.
Our
club should not be engaged in, pursuing this
I can't
club.
Say the word. What? That I want to say. It's
well,
not,
no, you can't swear. No,
exactly. So I said the word housery. It's housery of the highest degree, isn't it, on all sides? You know, Leeds are acting virtuous. Look at us. We have admitted that we've been doing something wrong. Or slightly morally wrong.
I wish we hadn't put our names.
Yeah, but there's been 11 other, you know, 11.
And that's the thing. It's not like Mill have said, look, we're not happy about this, we're going to complain, lads, you with us?
As a club, we hold ourselves to the highest moral standards, generally, and I can't believe we put our name to this little chitty that's got into the FA complaining about Leeds.
I think the difference is that... what's the right word? I think the difference is...
Is it a swear word again, Harry?
No, it's not a swear word. The difference is that we are the only club out of those 11 with nothing to gain.
Yeah, so obviously you're annoyed about it.
So Arne is slightly more principled.
Yeah,
that's what I'm trying to say.
Okay. We're known for our principles at the Den as well. That's another thing we're well known for down there.
Well, I expect the Turkish side shirts to be out in full force away from home later on in the season. But no, I don't care whether it was Leeds or anyone else. I'd like to point that out. I still think it's wrong. So that's my kind of feeling of it. And the fact that we're interlinked with everyone else is neither here nor there. We've launched our disapproval with it. I have a disapproval that the fact that QPR are skint and they're allowed to sign loan players. I think we should complain about that. It's probably more pressing.
Yeah, but we don't want to be complaining people.
Everyone moans about us.
Yeah, I know, but that's the thing. No one likes us, but we don't care.
But apparently we do.
Sounds like
seems.
You do.
I swear we're morally inconsistent on this.
Yes.
Anyway.
String him up just in case.
Spygate's boring.
It is boring, but...
Now, boring.
I do absolutely agree with the 11 teams, though. I mean, you're no better than I. What have your results been against Leeds?
We normally beat them at home, and we haven't played them away yet.
We drew at home, didn't we? We drew at home this season. Normally we beat them at home, they beat us away.
Worst case scenario, if you decided to dock Leeds all of their points from the season and hand them back to all the teams that lost to them,
you've got a couple of points.
Exactly, but
it feels a bit sneaky. It feels a little bit like you're twitching your neck curtains, looking at what your neighbour's up to over the road. We should be above all this kind of thing.
That's exactly what they did. They twitched the neck curtains and watched what you were doing in your own home. Yeah. That's the difference.
And now they're top of the league.
Yeah.
Do you think that has a bearing on this entire situation? No. If it was Sheffield Wednesday sat there in 15, you'd be like, well, it clearly didn't work, so we're not that bothered about it. But the fact that Leeds United are top was like, what, you've scouted everyone, you've watched everyone. Hey, that's why you're top of the league. We're going to complain.
I dare say the Football League will take a dim view of what's gone on. They don't seem to have broken any rules, so I don't know how they're going to phrase that.
What rule would be there?
Of an English gentleman.
I can't remember off my head.
The same one that says you have marmalade on the left side of your plate. That kind of rule.
There's lots of rules, Nick, that are illegal or immoral or whatever that don't currently exist in the FA's handbook. This is clearly wrong.
Ungentlemanly
conduct. And you can't blame the FA for not have written up a rule already to say that's not acceptable.
So
theoretically, they can give them, you know, they could dock 40 points off them, they could ban them from whatever.
They're going to ban Wayne Hennessy for the photo, aren't they?
A potential five-game ban.
For bringing the game into disrepute.
This is an ill-judged
gesture. So this is what they're saying. Will they do them under... bringing the game into disrepute.
Exactly.
I believe that's the only thing they can do them for.
There are many ways you can still do it.
I don't know what the worst thing is. They can't ban the whole football side. Maybe they could ban their entire first 11 that have been used during those games.
The Hennessy thing is a very different thing. I mean, young men will be stupid. That's in the nature of young men.
So will Argentinian managers, apparently. Maradona, Bielsa, you know.
I don't know. I just think it's, you know, it will follow its own course of the football. I just wish Millwall's name hadn't been attached to it. It feels a little bit like...
You feel like a bully, do you?
No. I feel a little bit like a nosy neighbour looking out the window at what somebody else has done. It don't feel right.
The irony.
Yeah. Anyway.
Let's head over to Stamford Bridge. Joe Rawson has got an update for us.
It's Chelsea 0, Tottenham Hotspur 0. There's a great atmosphere so far here at Stamford Bridge. That's despite there not being an awful lot for the crowd to get excited about. Chelsea have had a couple of flourishes forward. Pedro with a jinking run on the far side had a shot blocked by Toby Alderweireld, but they've not yet tested Paolo Gazzaniga in the Spurs goal, has Maurizio Sarri's side. So it's Tottenham that lead 1-0 on aggregate, 0-0 on the night.
Thanks, Joe. Brexit talk banned, as is now Spygate.
Hooter, you said it again.
I'm allowed to say it. No, this is against Brexit. Right, we've got to go home now. Who's got to present the show? Harry, you're taking over. When we come back, we'll talk about Everton in the FA Cup. Yeah, welcome back. Millwall fan show, Love Sport Radio. We've got Harry and Nick in the studio. Michael Ball, former Everton defender, is going to be joining
love
us.
That changes
about
everything.
Harry, no. Nick, sorry, no.
You got me on the brain.
Sorry, mate. It's you for swearing. And it's Nick for Michael Ball songs, which nobody. Harry, do you know any Michael Ball songs?
I do. I can sing one if you want.
No, absolutely not.
If you want me to.
He's one of these people, though. So I banned Michael Ball chat and I'm now continuing to talk about Michael Ball. One of these people that is so famous.
Hit the buzzer.
As a singer, but I do not know any of his songs.
Love changes everything.
Oh, how's that go?
Love changes everything.
Right, that's enough of that. Let's talk about your stadium. There's been a big update. Again, update us on that before we talk about Everton.
Some great news. The Guardian broke the story. Barney Roney, the journalist for the Guardian,
yeah,
has followed our battles with Lewisham Council very closely.
He's become a Millwall fan now.
He's become a Millwall fan. He was pictured in Dublin's bar with a Millwall tracksuit up on. He's really given our story a global level of publicity. And this weekend, another story is an exclusive on The Guardian to say that Millwall Football Club and the development company that wanted to take over our car park and basically, in reality, drive us from the stadium to some other location out on the fringes of London. But they've reached a deal. So it seems as though the club will now be part of the redevelopment of the area. This will give us an income stream for the future. This means in practical terms that the club's future in South Bermondsey is much, much more stable, much more assured. We don't have to start thinking about going to Ebbsfleet.
Yeah, it was as well with the academy status, obviously, due to FA rules and stuff like that, and if we were able to get over to the Premier League, we needed external ability to broadcast and stuff like this, which Renewal were going to take away from us, basically. So this was why we were being forced away. Quite strange to see some formerly twittered up members of the Renewal campaign have gone very silent and very quiet.
In fact, I mean, the story is that the new mayor for Lewisham, Mayor Damien Egan, who has come in since May, has kind of brokered this deal, has probably put pressure on both sides to reach a compromise, and the compromise is very much, from what we read in The Guardian, very much in Mill's favour. So this is fantastic news.
Was there genuine fear that you were going to have to move?
Absolutely.
Because, yes, you know what I mean? Absolutely. Sometimes when these things happen, whether it be a stadium or even a transfer, it's kind of like, yeah, but ultimately I think it can't go through. It won't happen. But there was genuine fear that you may be forced away.
When you're CPO in Little Willow Winston's art studio for 100k, compared to the average London house price being sort of £500,600, you know, that's the level that we're at. We're not talking about, oh, we'll slip a nice little letter through your letterbox. We're talking about we will forcibly remove
compulsory
you from your
purchase
home.
Orders on elderly ladies, on our car park and other businesses locally as well. So, no, this was a real thing. You know, I was involved in the campaign that kind of fought back a little bit and managed to bring the world's attention to it. And it was quite literally the world's attention. We had interest from Europe and from nationally and The Guardian and Evening Standard and others. So, you know, this is a massive achievement. I think Mill fans should, the whole programme in a way is secondary to that, because actually that's our long term future.
Well, as well, it was done without the, you know, very much compared to Dage Hamlet down the road.
Yeah.
It was done with no help from Jeremy Corbyn, no help from Sadiq Khan and no help from any other politicians barring ourselves. That's the difference. So, you know, our unfashionability was our fashionability.
And one or two very brave local councillors who stood up and spoke out, and, you know, that in many ways they kind of damaged their own career prospects within Lewisham Council because they were kind of going against their own council's policy. It was a real battle at one point. I mean, it was at the height of it. It became almost overwhelming, if I'm honest. So it's great to see a happy ending to what was a very real threat to our club.
Great stuff. Good news then. So, chaps, let's talk about your FA Cup game this weekend. You've got Everton coming down to visit. How much are we looking forward to this?
Oh, the club's on fire.
Do you reckon you can do them?
Depends what Everton turn up, doesn't it? On their day, they are very, very good. On their day, they are very, very bad, equally.
The thing is, though, as well, even the team they played against Lincoln, so they made a lot of changes in the last round, and they've got loads of players worth loads and loads of millions of pounds. But at the end of the day, they're either unfit because they don't play every week, or they've never played with each other before. So it's kind of not, I wouldn't go as far as saying irrelevant who's on the pitch. Mm. But if you put out a full-strength team against their kind of disjointed, unfit one, I'd back Millwall.
I mean, I think back to a couple of years ago when we went on an FA Cup run, we beat Bournemouth.
Leicester.
Watford and Leicester.
Ten-man Millwall beating Premier League Leicester. I remember
the Leicester game was a good example because that on paper was a side that probably should have won that game with ease. And we were playing with a League One squad very much then. And I think it's going to be a League One-y type squad in some...
League One Plus.
League One Plus, yeah. A bit like a Brexit Plus deal.
one for you.
But the crucial factor in those results against Bournemouth and Watford and then Leicester was the atmosphere of the den. It's a cauldron, and I don't think some of these players are quite ready for the intensity of what they get there.
I see the two Brazilian boys as the boo boys. I think Bernard out on the left wing might get a bit of treatment, and so will Richarlison.
It's a very odd stadium, the Den, because when you sit in your seat high in the West Upper, I know you're over in the east side, Harry, but the pitch looks like a reasonable distance away. But when you actually, if you go into the centre of the pitch, you feel like you're in a trap. You feel the stands pressing in on you. I can't imagine what it's like when that place is packed to the rafters, on fire.
Let's head over to Stamford Bridge, where we've had a goal.
It's Chelsea 1, Tottenham Hotspur 0, 1-1 on aggregate now, and this League Cup semi-final is all square thanks to N'Golo Kante. After a corner was taken from this near side, it was headed away from inside the penalty area by Fernando Llorente, only as far as N'Golo Kante at the edge of the area, who struck it goalwards, and the ball went through the Spurs goalkeeper Paolo Gazzaniga and into the back of the net. Who says Kante isn't an attacking midfielder? It's Chelsea 1, Tottenham Hotspur 0.
Cheers, Joe. That's Joe Rawson at Stamford Bridge. Yeah, we've seen the replays of that goal. Have you ever played croquet before? It's gone through three pairs of legs. Joe mentions it goes through Gazzaniga's, but it also goes through two Spurs defenders as well. How N'Golo Kante has managed that, I've absolutely
sloppy,
no idea.
Sloppy defending.
The odds of getting it through three people's legs that clean.
Spurs look like they've got another injury as well.
Yeah, who's that? Ben Davies, currently sat down getting some treatment, half an hour in. So yeah, we've got Everton, we've got this disjointed side. Let's be honest, Marcus Silva's not going to play the full strength side, and as you mentioned, Harry, massively inconsistent this season.
I think the atmosphere of the den,
you know, there's some weird players there. You know, you read their names and they should be, you know, challenging for the top four.
Walcott went to the 2006 World Cup as a real hot prospect. I remember I saw him play for Southampton when he first broke in as a 16-year-old, and I thought there's, you know, it's like a future talent out of the top drawers. He went for our defence like it was a knife through butter. But no, I mean, I think the critical factor will be the atmosphere, the game, the intensity. If we can get that early goal, if we throw the kitchen sink at them, Fulham style, and it goes our way this time, I think they'll crumble. The longer it goes on, the more quality players should show their level.
Yes.
It works against us. But then Leicester, we beat them in the last minute of the game.
Yeah, you had... As kind of,
and we survived a few.
Well, the thing was, being at 10 men, you kind of had the draw was a good result, so it changes the mindset. So as we don't go a goal behind, whenever Millwall are 0-0, the crowd, we have 10 minutes, don't we? Every game, we could be the worst team on the pitch for 80 minutes, but we'll have a 10-minute spell where you go, oh, if we get a goal now, it'd be all right. The thing is with Everton is they do have two or three world-class players from about 25 yards. You know, Richarlison will score a mental goal. Sigurdsson.
Yeah.
That's what I'm worried about. I'm not worried. They don't really have a striker. They have amazing number 10s, but they don't have a number 9. And that kind of... where I'm missing Ben Thompson this weekend, because I don't think they'd get that chance of Ben Thompson.
This is the magic of the FA Cup. I mean, we keep saying the FA Cup's lost its luster and it's not. Well, try it out on Millwall on Saturday night. It will, but the FA Cup has its magic on these kinds of occasions, because we all know, I mean, you're right, Harry. I mean, you know, Everton should be two or three goals better than us, at least. But the, you know, if we bring our A game to the table, let's see how they take it.
I love the positivity and the fact that you are talking about the magic of it and saying that it will be a great atmosphere. But kind of flipping it, and I don't necessarily believe in this, but is there an argument to suggest that the money that you'll earn from if you beat Everton, I think it's about £180,000, which is well, it's fairly minimal really in the grand scheme of football.
Big money for Millwall.
Well, with Millwall's season being what it is there not a suggestion to say that it's a little bit of a distraction and Neil Harris wouldn't be too bothered if we were to lose this game?
No.
Not at all. It's totally the opposite.
Good.
I think Neil was said openly before that it's all about winning. Football's about winning the next game, whether it's whoever's it's against.
And Millwall's not about dull, mundane survival in a league where...
I think we are safe now. I'd like to point that out. I don't think...
Millwall's about these kinds of situations. Everton, one of the great names of English football, with all their money, all their players. Get them down the old Kent Road. See how they like it. You know, it's that kind of...
This is the point. At the Den, Millwall can beat anyone. That's my point. That Den, on its day, is unplayable. You have to go there and take that thing in. But if you don't turn up there and wait to put a shift in, it will beat you. You're beaten before you leave the pitch, you know. Whether or not that happens Saturday, if we do win, you know, I want Liverpool. That's who I want next, I'll be honest. Or West Ham, if they're still in.
Yeah, it'll be very, very interesting to see. I'm sure Michael Ball at one point has played down at Millwall. So what we'll do, we'll take a break. And when we come back, the former Everton player will join us on the phone. We'll get his view ahead of this game.
5.58 AM. Love Sport.
Millwall fan show. Let's head over, though, quickly to Stamford Bridge, where we've got another update from Joe Rawson.
It's Chelsea 1, Tottenham 0. N'Golo Kante's striker went through Spurs goalkeeper Paolo Gazzaniga after a couple of deflections. The difference on the night, and it is the hosts that are still in the ascendancy here. We've just seen Eden Hazard with a good run up the near side. His low cross was aimed goalwards by Olivier Giroud, but he couldn't make clean contact on the ball. Spurs have had a substitution forced upon them. Ben Davies, who was the captain for tonight, has had to hobble off. He has been replaced by Danny Rhodes. It's 1-1 on aggregate, but it's Chelsea that lead by a goal to nil on the night.
Cheers, Joe. I've got a feeling we're going to be hearing from him very soon, actually.
Are you psychic, Jake?
I might be. Who knows? We'll wait to hear from Joe, but there may... I'm not trying to give too much away. There may have been another goal at Stamford Bridge.
I feel it. I feel it through the ether.
Okay. Delighted to say we've got Michael Poole on the phone now, former Everton defender. Michael, good evening, mate.
Hi, good evening, lads. How are we?
Yeah, very, very well indeed. Just a quick one, because we're not too sure. I've been trying to work it out, Michael. Have you ever played at the New Den or the Den?
I'm not too sure myself, to be honest.
Oh, you'd know.
No, can't remember. Not yet. No, I'm sure I would have remembered it. It was definitely on the wrong side of the result.
So, look, how do you think Everton will go about this game? Because, I mean, even if you've not played there, you've kind of heard about it. It'll be certainly an interesting experience for some of these Everton players who are perhaps even new to the Premier League.
Exactly. You know, Everton having... it's not all roses at the moment at Goodison Park. There's a few of them sort of playing off form, so it's not a chance for Millwall, really, with the fans there, the FA Cup romance. It's on TV. Everything could be in Millwall's favour. They have to take advantage of Everton, who are off the boil at this moment in time, and a lot of new faces have come in. They've started off really well. They're having a Christmas period. They seem to falter in the form, and they're going to be surprised by the atmosphere at the New Den.
Yeah, as you mentioned, Michael, massively, massively inconsistent. I mean, not hugely underachieving, because that middle part of the Premier League is so, so tight. So, I mean, as Marcus Silva pointed out the other day, I think we're only like 3 points off seventh, which is completely feasible and would be deemed as a success this season. But do you expect him to go into this FA Cup game and field a strong team, or do you think it'll be similar to Lincoln, where he'll pretty much rotate the entire squad?
No, I think he's going to go for a strong squad, a strong team, a strong lineup. Everton fans have been hoping for the trophy for a long period of time. I think the league's done and dusted with them. A lot of the fans are not really interested in the UEFA. They like to finish the league strong, but they want to finish the season with a trophy. And it's up to Marco Silva to bring that glory days back to Everton. And that's what the fans are crying out for. So I don't think if he does play with a weakened side and the result goes against him, that he will be under massive pressure at the club.
I was going to ask that, Michael. I mean, obviously, you haven't won the great names of English football, and to settle for kind of mid-table mediocrity would feel a little bit like not second best, but you know what I mean. Is you know, it's a team that is built on glory, and I would have thought Everton would approach this with the idea of winning it. I mean, it's the FA Cup must be a winnable trophy for a team of that stature.
Exactly. You know, it's the league. Were obviously at the start of the season, it was all rosy. New faces were coming in. There was a buzz about the place, buzz about the new ground, from leaving Goodison Park, and at the season just hasn't really been clicking. There's something missing at the club right now. They're missing a striker. I feel they're not seem to create enough chances or put me in the back of the net when they're on top of teams. Everton seem to let teams settle down into a rhythm. So it's a big chance for Millwall to be an upset, and that's going to be the sort of kick up the backside for Everton. So sort of they've got to, while they might have better players and better quality in the team, they've got to match the will to win and the fight to the end of the game.
Now, I wouldn't go as far, Marcus, to say it would be humiliating if Everton were to lose, because, you know, this isn't a League Two or a non-league side in the FA Cup. You know, this is a Championship side. But with the kind of rumblings, maybe a little bit of discontent kind of happening, how important or how kind of devastating would it be for Marcus Silva's potential job if he was to lose this game?
He won't lose his job, but there's pressure at him at the moment, which it should be. You know, he's at Everton Football Club, there's always going to be pressure there. But as I said, this is a massive opportunity to put a smile on the fans' faces. You know, they want to go on a cup run, they want to get to Wembley, hopefully want to win it. So it's up to him to field the correct side to win that game. A lot of new faces there, as I said before, and a lot of fun guys who experience what's going to happen in the new den. So there's the English boys there, they've got to get them up for it, because it doesn't matter about form in the FA Cup. We all know that, the romance of the competition. You know, both clubs have sort of been inconsistent this season, but that goes out the window in the cup game, and it's going to be Millwall's cup final, and they're going to make it tough for Everton.
Michael, just last, as you mentioned, the magic there of the FA Cup. Did you experience that playing, and if so, what was the most kind of exciting game that you were involved in?
It was on both sides of the memories, ones that you always remember, the hurtful ones. I was playing for Everton. We played Tranmere, local sort of derby, and they ran away with it. You know, we never matched them for commitments. We never matched them for their desire to win that game. We just thought, looking around our team, that we were going to be better than them. And, you know, they ended up beating us 3-0 at Goodison Park. That was humiliating, you know, and that's the sort of warning signs that can happen to Everton. You know, it doesn't matter who you're playing in the FA Cup. It's a chance for the smaller teams, say, or the teams in a different league to it's their cup final. It's their opportunity to show themselves and put themselves in the public eye. And when it's in the FA Cup and it's on TV, it's a massive platform for them to show everyone what they're capable of.
Okay, Michael, absolute pleasure speaking to you this evening, mate. Really appreciate it.
Cheers, no problem. Cheers, guys.
That was Michael Ball there, former Everton defender. His views on this game in the FA Cup.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Marc Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Marc.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.